What's up, guys? Welcome to Demo with Mo. I'm your host, Monique Simmons. We'll be discussing dating, engaged, and married objectives from a young Christian's perspective. Are you guys ready? Let's dive in. Hey, what's up, guys? Welcome to a new episode of Demo with Mo. I am your host, Monique Simmons. And today we are continuing our Journey of Love series. And I have invited a very, very special guest, the most special guest to me, my husband, Mr. Corey Simmons, to continue on this Journey of Love series with me. And I'm excited to have him join me on today. Before we kick off this episode, we are coming off celebrating my 35th birthday. We just came back from the very fine city of Miami, and we had an amazing time. If I have any listeners from Miami, my husband said he will not be going back because you guys are very expensive, but I love Miami. We had an amazing, amazing time, and I thought this would be the perfect time to bring him on to talk about our personal journey of love coming off of this trip together, what I would like to call a vacation to celebrate my birthday, but we had an amazing time. So, Mr. Simmons, welcome to the podcast. Glad to have you join me today.
Hey, y'all. I'm happy to be on. I'm happy that you got me on. Talk about this love story. Let's see who's going to tell the truth and who's going to lie.
Lie. Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, you guys, we're going to jump right on into it. Okay, Mr. Simmons. So what we're going to do is tell how we met, and what I really want to do is, because usually when you talk to a couple, each person in a relationship kind of have their own perspective on how it kind of went. So I want you to give your side of it, and I'll kind of fill in where I think you may be different in my side of it as you kind of tell your side of it.
Okay.
Okay. So let's start from the beginning. Where did we meet?
Well, let's start from the beginning when I first saw you.
Oh, okay. Where you first saw me?
Everybody used to go to North Park Mall when you was in middle school. Dropped off on Saturday. That was the first time I saw you.
Okay. So for my listeners, those of you who... because we have listeners from all over the map. North Park Mall is a local mall in our metro area, in a city near our city where we live.
Okay. Like I said, I was at North Park Mall. You with somebody. I can't recall who you with, but I was a couple of my friends.
Okay.
I approached you. I don't remember if I got your number or not. Mike gave me the wrong number, but I don't know. You were into the grown man at that time.
Grown man. I was not into grown.
Yeah, you been fat. You want nobody your age.
Just say older. I was not dating adults.
Older.
Thank you.
Older man.
Thank you. Older boys. We were in middle school.
Older boys.
Okay.
But I can't remember if you gave me your number or however, whatever happened. But I know when I first saw you, the most time, you know, I had me some girls giving a damn with girls back and forth. But when I first saw you, you know, the first thing that came to my mind, usually, from a man perspective, sometimes when we see what we'll do to it.
You were not a dress. Man, but okay.
Well, as a boy, you know, you think about sex. But sex didn't cross my mind when I saw you. What crossed my mind was when we get a family, you being my wife.
In middle school?
Yeah, when we grew up.
Okay.
I can picture her being with her in the future.
You never told me this.
I ain't got to tell you that you can't run to your head.
I'm your wife now.
It don't matter.
Okay.
But most times with men, when I look at women, not now, y'all, not now.
Okay, man.
But when I was single and looking at women, my first thing is just, dang, I need to get that. But that didn't cross my mind. So I tried to talk to, but I don't remember if I got the number now. On down the line, we met again. So happened that you came to my cousin's house, but another girl came to see another guy, and she was with the girl.
Okay, now this is what I remember. Okay, so I'm going to jump in here, okay? So one of my best friends. This is still middle school because I don't remember the mall. Now, Corey has told me about the mall. He's told me this many times over the years, but he's never told me he thought about me being his wife and us having a family. But he has told me about meeting me at the mall and me possibly me giving him my number. Okay. But one of my best friends was talking to his cousin and we happened to go meet one night. And I had no idea that the cousin was Corey, that was the house that we were going to. And I was sitting outside in the car waiting on her and she was talking to him. Man, we were doing some grown up stuff back then. It's just absolutely ridiculous. But I was sitting in the car waiting on her to finish talking to the cousin. And Corey comes to the car. And I'm like, I guess I gave him like some bougie look. I'm sure he'll fill it in. But I looked at him like, what you want? Like, what you coming to the car for? Yeah. So that was my experience of me that I remember of first meeting him. Is that kind of how that went?
Yeah, I thought you were grown. That was the problem.
Okay. So we're going to fast forward a little bit. So that was our first experiences of meeting each other. When and where did we see each other again after middle school, after all of this?
High school.
Okay.
I don't know what 10th grade.
That's when I transferred to Bailey. Okay. So I started off at one high school and I got into a fight and I got transferred to Bailey, which is where Corey was. And we ended up going to high school together. And that's where we ended up meeting and seeing each other again. So where did we go from there? Once we saw each other at Bailey.
Well, I didn't bother you for the first couple years. Well, the first year you were there, 10th grade year, because you had a boyfriend. So I didn't bother you. You ain't bothering me. You probably spoke or whatever. But I still had that eye for you. But, you know, I know you had a man, and I was still doing my thing at the same time. But then 11th grade year.
Okay.
That's when we started getting to know each other a little closer. Whatever.
Okay.
We took, I'm at 3-4 class together. We took our last period together? Nah, 7th period together. On B-Day.
You remember that?
Yeah. I forgot what U.S. is. I don't know what U.S. is. I know what Miss McCarthy class. Used to use my phone all the time. Talk to some boy all the time. I don't know if your phone was off or you were cheating. I don't know what you were
you
doing.
Messy?
But you,
ooh, you are messy.
I don't wonder why you kept using my phone every time.
Messy. Y'all, my husband is messy.
You sit in front of me. Can I use your phone? And you use my phone for the whole period. My girlfriend used to be texting me. I can't text back because you got my phone.
You messy. Your girlfriend would be all right for one period.
No, she won't. She questioned me. Who got your phone?
Okay, y'all. So for context, even though it really don't matter because this was high school, who cares? Back then, that's when phones were free after what, 9 o'clock? Yeah. And Corey had, I don't know what kind of plan Corey mama had on his phone. But he didn't care. It was either he had some kind of free plan or his mama didn't care or he didn't care.
I was free all day.
Okay, I didn't have that plan. I paid my own cell phone bill. See, that was the difference between Corey and I. I had a job. So I was paying for my own cell phone bill. So I couldn't use my phone throughout the day. I had to use his phone. So he would let me use his phone. We were friends. We were cool. He had a girlfriend. I had a boyfriend. So I would use his phone. So, I mean, what's the problem?
That was the problem. You talking to the other guy, you should have put your number in my phone.
You had a girlfriend. Okay, so let's fast forward. How do we go? So 10th grade, he didn't bother me. I was hearing through the grapevine, though, that Corey think you cute. You know, other people were coming up to me telling me that Corey thought I was cute. He wanted to talk to me. But I had a boyfriend. I was in a committed. I was always in a relationship. I never really just was single, even though you are single until you're married. But whatever. I digress. But I was always in a relationship. So 10th grade year, Corey didn't bother me. 11th grade year, he didn't bother me about trying to date me. But we were friends. We had gotten real cool. So 12th grade year, let's fast forward. So I broke up with my boyfriend and we were in computer lab.
Yeah, Ms. Walker's class.
Ms. Walker's class. And I was doing debutante and I needed a date. And she suggested that I ask you to be my date. You were in the classroom. I don't even know what you were doing in there. I feel like it was
on. I was just in there.
You were just in there because it wasn't class time. Like, I was just in there talking to her.
No, it was about class time. I just came in there to mess around.
Yeah. Okay, so she suggested that I ask you. So I came over to you and asked you, would you be my date? And what did you say?
I said, yeah.
You said, yeah.
You all going to say, yeah.
I didn't know you were going to say, yeah. You had a girlfriend. So, Corey says, yeah. And we ended up being partners for debutante. And that's how we started getting really close. So we would go to debutante practice. I don't know if it was every day, but I feel like it was.
You know, like two to three times a week.
Yeah. So we would ride together to practice. And that's when he started rubbing off on me. Like, all right, okay, I can see myself liking him a little bit.
Yeah, then when we started getting. No, I started putting them jokes on and stuff like that, trying to make her laugh. Just to feel her out to see how she was. But then I end up meeting a girl at the debutante thing. You know, I told Monique Ali, I remember one day in the car, when she dropped me off at home, I said, I leave all the girls alone. You just give me one chance. And then that got her right there. She gave me that chance and it was all she did. I broke up with my girlfriend. Well, we were already having problems. I ended up breaking up with her. And here we are today.
Yeah, so it's a lot in between there. Don't let Mr. Simmons fool y'all. Man, not for one bit.
We had our first child.
Okay, so he fast forward real quick. Okay, so we had what was our first date?
At Margarita.
Okay, so we went to Margarita's, our first date, which is crazy because y'all, we right here. You remember when we went to Margarita? When we became for my birthday, and here we are. Wow, this is crazy. Okay, so we went to a restaurant, a Mexican restaurant, which is still open to this day, which is crazy because that was over 17 years ago. So we went to this Mexican restaurant called Margaritas, which used to be my favorite Mexican restaurant here, called Margaritas for my birthday. And that's when we officially became boyfriend girlfriend. Okay, so we're gonna fast forward a little bit. So we graduated high school that following year in May. And what happened once we graduated high school?
Probably about a couple weeks later, we end up breaking up. We broke up probably about a month later because mm-hmm. you wanted to go to school to see, be with other people, but just. See where your life take you to.
Yeah, I wanted to experience life.
Yeah, everybody want to just see what everything is going to be. You know what I'm saying? Instead of just being shacked up.
Shacked up? You sound like an old person.
Shacked up. Like you handcuffed, like cuffed.
Yeah. So if you guys remember earlier during the episode, I told you guys I had always been in a relationship. Like as long as I can remember, even in middle school, I had always been in a doggone relationship. So when I graduated high school and getting ready to go off to college, I told Corey, and it was no ill will towards Corey. We still were cool, but I wanted to go off into college life, and I really wanted to just live my life and see what life had to offer me as a single woman, an independent woman. And lo and behold, what happens when I get off to college?
You got about 2 months. It won't eat too much.
Mm-mm.
Well, it probably won't eat a month when you end up getting pregnant with CJ.
So I get out to college and I'm there maybe a month and I start getting really sick. And I could not figure out what was wrong with me. Some days I couldn't even get out of my bed in my dorm room. And my roommate was like, you know, asking me what's going on. And I ended up calling my best friend who did not live far from my college. And she came and picked me up one day and we went to the doctor and lo and behold, I am pregnant. So I just, not even a month before, broke up with my boyfriend. And now here I am having to call him and say that I am pregnant. How did you feel when I called you?
No, I mean I ain't know what to think, cause you know I see you out there probably doing your thing. I don't know what you were doing, and I was still, you know, I don't know. I can't even recall how I feel. I mean, it wasn't no. Oh, I'm happy that she pregnant. I'm like, well, what I supposed to do? But I'm what 18, 17, 18, 17 years old. I ain't know what to do. I mean, I don't know. I can't say I was happy. I can't say I was mad. I just say, well, we just came to agree. We'll figure it out. Right. We came together. I don't know. We got back together right then and there. But, you know, talked about it or whatever. But I don't know. I don't know what type of feeling it was. Because it's a different feeling from you not being together and you calling me talking about you pregnant. I'm like, who the heck is she pregnant by?
Okay, well, I was completely disappointed. I didn't want a child. I didn't want to be in a relationship. I didn't want any parts of this. I didn't want no parts of this because I, growing up, I didn't want to be a mom. I didn't want to be a wife. I didn't want any of this. So I was completely disappointed in my, it's like, my, because if you guys have been rocking with me for a while, you know my background, you know the history. My mom and my dad had me when my mom was 19 and she dropped out of college. And I'm like, here I go repeating this same cycle, this same story. This is not what I wanted for my life. And here I am doing the same exact thing. I was just, if I'm completely honest, I was hurt. Like I was disgusted. I was all of the things. That's how I feel. I couldn't beat myself up any more than I did. I was not happy about it at all. But I ended up coming to terms with it. I got myself together. I pulled myself up out of it. But I was just not happy about it at all. Okay, so we graduated 2007, 2008. The following year, we had our first child. I was 19. So we're babies, having a baby, having to figure out life and grow up pretty quickly. So fast forward, we have our first son, our first child, and now 2 years later, 2010, we're having another child. So 2010, a lot has happened. What all happened in 2010?
We get married in 2010. That's a new journey that we started on. And yeah, we got our second baby.
Okay, so from my perspective, 2010. In February, I gave my life to Christ. In June, we ended up getting married. And then in September, we had our second child, Mariah. So now we have a 2-year-old and an infant child. And we're married. Okay, so how is that for you?
It was rough for me, you know what I'm saying? Having two kids, don't know what direction I'm going in life. Working two jobs, still trying to figure out, trying to pay bills. Don't know how, don't have no sense of how to handle money, no sense of how to manage their money. It was kind of rough. It was a rough time. Yeah, I didn't need, never see no example of married people coming from a broken home. And I was broken myself, not knowing that I was broken at the time, you know, throughout counseling and stuff like that. You realize how broken you are, how the love and attention that you didn't get, but you want to give that to your kids and stuff. I got cold feet after the wedding because I didn't know anything about marriage. Now I got three people to take care of, my responsibility. I don't know what direction I'm going in life. So I'm trying to figure out what I want to do for life, working two jobs, trying to uphold and take care of the household. I mean, it was a rough time for me because I didn't never had the example of a man trying to take care of his family. So there was a lot of resentment there because I got all this pressure on me to take care of the family. So there was some rough times in our marriage when we both wanted to give up at a certain time. I wanted to give up, she wanted to give up, but if it weren't for God keeping us together, or we just striving to know God better, I don't think it would have worked. But both of us are trying to be on the same path, giving our life to Christ. That when we first became believers and gave our life to Christ.
Yeah, so I agree. The first years of marriage was really hard. Because again, I told you guys growing up, I did not want to get married. That was not, you know, you hear women and young ladies saying that's, you know, that's their dream, that's the goal, like marriage is the thing that they're striving for, that's the thing that they really want. I was never, I was never that girl, like, because what I saw, the examples I saw of marriage, it was never, ever the goal for me. Like, if this is what marriage looks like, if this is what marriage is supposed to be, I don't want any parts of this. Like, no. So it was never my desire. But when I gave my life to Christ, that's why so much transpired in that year of 2010, because at the top of the year, when I gave my life to Christ in February, my heart changed. It was like, I have this child, and I'm not one of those people to promote just because you have a child with someone, you guys need to be married and you now need to be together. I will never say that, because everybody don't need to be in a relationship and everybody don't need to be married to people that they have children with. Because everybody shouldn't even have children together. But I knew Corey was the person that I wanted to be with. Like, he was the person that I wanted to be in relationship with. So now we have these two children together. Well, we have our son, and now I'm pregnant with our daughter, Mariah. And it's like, I've given my life to Christ and my heart had changed. And this is real for me. Like, this is not something that I'm just doing. I'm not going to be one of the people that just go to church and this is for show. And it's something in me had changed. And it was like, Lord, I really want to be right with you. I want to live my life for you. This is real for me. So I wanted to do those things that would please him. So Corey used to say that I gave him an ultimatum. I don't like that, because I don't even agree with ultimatums. I think people should be free to choose what they want to choose. But I did tell Corey that either we're going to, because we were living together, but we were not married. I told him we're either going to live separately, or we're going to, if we're going to live together, we're going to have to get married.
No, he said we're going to get married or we ain't going to be together. Uh-uh. No, your exact words.
No, I never said we had to break up. I never said we had to break up.
I would have waited until I already did.
Said, no, but we weren't going to be having sex.
What?
That was the thing. That's why you did it. Now, you knew we weren't going to have sex. And that was another thing. Corey and I stopped having sex until we got married, because I was for real. Like, I was really serious about this thing when I gave my life to Christ.
You know what I'm saying? I'm 20 years old. I'm 19. And she talking about, can't have sex. I'm about to jump out my pants. She talking about, can't have sex. I had to have a lot of self-control not to go out there and mess around, because I knew this is what I hoped for when I was in the 6th or 7th grade. When a woman change your behavior and not go out to the club and do this with your friends, stuff. I'm 19 years old. I wanted to do them things, but I thought I had something more important. And I saw my future with her, so I gave up this stuff, sacrificed this stuff to build what I wanted for the future.
And that was a choice that you made on your own.
Yeah, but you did give me an ultimatum. You said, because something else had transpired to make that, for you to make that ultimatum.
That's not an ultimatum, though.
It's, yeah. I said, you either get married or we don't be together. You say
not separate. Be together. I ain't living separate.
We were living separate.
No, we were living together. But we were living together. I didn't say, okay. I did not say we couldn't be together. I said we would not live together and we wouldn't have sex.
Okay.
That's what I said.
Okay, I take that.
That was the truth.
I didn't misinterpret. Because you hearing that, you just hearing what you want
to
hear.
I know you heard what you wanted to hear, because I never once said we had to break up. But I'm not telling you guys to do what I did at all, do what you want to do. But that's how important my relationship with God was. Even though I loved Corey and I wanted to be with Corey, I also wanted to please God, and that was more important to me. So again, I'm not telling y'all what to do, but I was not going to continue to live with Corey and have sex with Corey and not be married. That's what I wasn't going to do. But I also was not going to break up with Corey. I wasn't going to continue to live the same way that we were. So we ended up getting married. But those first few years of marriage was really hard because we were kids. We were young. We didn't have good examples of healthy marriages growing up. So we really were starting from scratch. We had to figure out how to make our marriage work and figure it out on our own. And we started to get in healthy community and learn how to communicate and all of those things on our own, you know? So, yeah. Okay, so fast forward. When did marriage start getting better for you? When did it start, like, and not like perfect, because no marriage is perfect, but I'm saying, when did it get from, because man, it was a hot ghetto mess in the beginning. I'm just gonna be completely honest with y'all. It was a hot, if y'all been rocking with me, y'all been listening to the podcast, y'all know a little bit. And I'm not going to get into all the details of that. One day I'll tell the story. But it was a hot ghetto mess in the beginning. So when did you begin to see a shift and things began to look better?
I don't know. Maybe like year 6 or 7. Maybe. I'm not accurate with that, but.
What do you think changed from your perspective?
From my perspective, when I got, because you know, as a man, you want to be able to provide for your family. That's a stressful thing for me, not being able to provide. So I'm in and out of different jobs.
Mm-hmm.
So once I got a job at Coca-Cola, and I figured that job can help take care of the family, when I got a pay raise and stuff like that, then when the stuff started coming down for me. And then seeing examples at the church, the married couples at the church been married 30, 40 years, they're giving advice, learning how to communicate, learning how to not take everything personal in the relationship, not taking everything personal, looking at the bigger picture about everything. And really, my relationship with God at the time, getting to know God, being more patient, and just learning how to love better. So, I mean, I know that I wanted this, so I knew I wasn't going nowhere. It was just being able to financially stable to take care of the kids and my wife and the household. That would change for me. That was a big jump in my, big step in my life that made me feel more comfortable.
Okay.
Oh, and another thing before she gets started, the change in you, like when I get... make you mad. You didn't get mad like you used to. It's like you'll be slow to anger and stuff like that. Like you were learning from your relationship with God, and that changed me to not be quick to get upset and stuff. So we kind of fed off each other a little bit. Like I learned a lot from you and your relationship with God, and then once you started seeing the change in me, that we just broke that barrier between us. We began to communicate and love on each other a little more than we were. And we were a little separated. For you, I wanted this, you want that.
Okay. That's real. For me, I think after maybe like those, I have a horrible memory. Like, timelines, I'm terrible with them. But I can tell you the shift for me happened is when I began to first grow in my relationship with Christ. Like when I got closer to Christ, like in my personal relationship with him, and I began to change internally, it began to reflect in my marriage. Not only in my marriage, in my life, period, but that began to reflect in my marriage. Like how my husband just said, how I began to get slow to get angry. Like when he would get upset or react to something, like I would not let how he acted or responded make me respond that way. And that was because of my relationship with Christ, like the time I was spending with God. Like, because we had got to such a negative place, like I would begin to pray more. I was listening to, like, I'm a huge fan of Tony Evans. That was a time in my life where I was listening to a lot of Tony Evans, like when we were not in church or Bible study. I was listening to Tony Evans' podcast a lot. I was studying my Bible. Like, I was really, like, soaking up God so much. My favorite scripture is 2 Corinthians 12:9. God's grace is sufficient. That was a time in my life where I was, like, that was coming alive to me because I was really needing to lean on God. Like, this is such a hard time in my life. Like, Lord, I need you. And that scripture came alive to me. Like, my grace is sufficient for you, Monique. I am enough for you during this time. Like, I'm with you. You're good. Like, I'm enough. I'm enough. I'm enough. God just became so real to me during that season of our marriage and that time in my life. And also, I was dealing with my anger issues in the beginning of our marriage, and even before we got married, I had a lot of anger issues. Before Corey and I got together, I was in an abusive relationship. And when Corey and I got together, I still had a lot of that that stuff in me. So I was dealing with a lot of anger issues and I just didn't know how to control it. So every time something happened, my first response was always anger. Like I didn't know, had no other way to respond. So once God really started dealing with me with all of that anger that I had in my heart because of so many things that happened in my life, I just had a lot of anger in me. And once God really began to deal with all of the anger in me and all this stuff began to pour out of me and get rid of all that anger, that really made a change in our relationship and in our marriage. It just really affected us in a positive way. And I could see the difference in how I talked to my husband and how I responded to my husband and how I interacted with my husband. And it just made a total difference in our relationship. So, yeah. Okay, so let's fast forward. So 4 or 5, 6 years later, the marriage is getting better. So we are, let's talk about when we buy our home. So we purchased our home in 2017. How was that?
That was a good moment. That was a proud moment for me. I mean, for us. This one just for me. It was a proud moment for us at that time, purchasing our first home because we was in an apartment from goddamn 17 to what, 28.
You say that like that's a bad thing.
I know, but I'm saying to make that accomplishment, I didn't ever think we would get a house because you pushed me to get it because I wasn't going to even try to get the house. I was good where I was at.
You actually were not. You just thought we couldn't get a house.
Yeah, I thought we couldn't get a house because. Like I said, then nobody teach us. I don't know about you, but then nobody teach me.
You do know.
Well, then nobody teach us how to go about credit, house. Well, you had multiple cars. Well, somebody got them for you. So we really didn't know nothing. We grew up together. So we really figured things out. But you took the lead and figured things out. And then once you started teaching me certain things, I started to figure stuff out. And it went on from there. That was a proud moment for us. Now you rode by the house 1,000 times before we closed.
Oh, so that is one, and I'm glad you pointed that out, because that's one of the beautiful things about our journey of love, our love story, Corey and I have been together since we were kids, so we have grown up together. And it is some hard things about that, but it's also a lot of beautiful things about that because we have been on an adventure together. We've literally experienced everything together. I taught him how to drive, even though he doesn't like to admit that.
You know what? Taught me how to drive correctly.
Okay, I taught him how to drive the correct way.
You teach me how to drive. Okay. Somebody like you did. You in the back seat teaching me how to drive. Don't do that.
He learned how to drive while we were together.
I did not learn how to drive. Yeah. Later on, you didn't teach me how to drive. Say I learned how to drive.
I just said that. To make you feel better. You learned how to drive while we were together. Okay. We bought our first home together. We bought his first car together. We've had a lot of firsts together. We took our first vacation together. Like, again, we've been on this adventure because we got together so young. We've had a lot of firsts, and we've been on this adventure together a long time, over 17 years together. So we talked about the house. So fast forward past that. Oh, Zoe Grace. So our third and last baby. Let's talk about that. So this is our only child that we planned. So let's talk about the gap. So our first daughter, our second child, they're 2.5 years apart. Neither one of them was planned. Or we then, prepare for them. But our baby girl, our last child, Zoe Grace, she's the baby of the bunch. We actually planned for her. And I waited a long. Corey actually asked for this last child for a few years. How long did you ask for her?
Four or five years.
Y'all, I was not ready for another baby. Just for context purposes, I have terrible pregnancies. I am sick from the time I get pregnant to the time I deliver the child. I am sick the entire pregnancy. So I am never looking forward to a pregnancy. So I waited over 10 years to decide that I wanted to have this child. So let's talk about that when I agreed to have Zoe. Do you remember that?
I don't know exactly when you agreed to do it. I don't know the exact, when you asked about the exact date, but I remember when we agreed to do it. I was excited.
Yeah, do you remember how I announced it?
Well, you announced it. Well, we agreed to it. No, we agreed to it. You didn't announce it. You announced that you gave me a gift on the tree that you were pregnant.
No. You don't remember? I gave you the birth control. That I was ready to start. You don't remember?
Okay, you gave me the box. Yeah, mm-hmm. You did say, yeah, you did give me the box.
That I was stopping my birth control.
Yeah, when I didn't remember the present on the tree that the pregnant test that you were pregnant. I do remember you giving me that box. But I wonder what that was a day. I don't know if that was 5 days on my birthday, you gave me that box. It was one of them days.
What box?
You gave me your birth control.
That was Christmas. That was a Christmas gift.
It sure was. They want the pregnancy test.
Yeah.
You sure were right.
Yeah.
Yeah, you sure were right. Yeah, that was a gift. Pregnancy test. Yeah.
Y'all see, he's forgetting these important details.
Now, I thought it was the pregnancy test, but that was the
box. No, that was the birth control. Yeah. That I was stopping the birth control. Okay. So, how did you feel? Because it took us almost a year to get pregnant with Zoe. We thought that, because I had been on birth control, y'all, almost 10 years. I got on birth control right after having Mariah. So I've been on birth control almost 10 years. But for some odd, crazy reason, we thought we were going to get pregnant as soon as I stopped the birth control. How foolish of us. So how did you feel when we weren't getting pregnant quickly?
It'll discourage you because just see the disappointment on your face trying to give me something I've been wanting. And we just thought it was a piece of the birth control, but you know, we just had to be patient. And I was kind of disappointed. I feel like getting it is what it is. We ain't going to have another child. I like giving up. No, without no birth control, affects a lot of women different. Everybody's body is different. So I just kind of accepted that we were going to have them.
Yeah. Okay. So how did you feel once we found out we were pregnant?
Well, I was excited because this was the experience that I never had. Because CJ was a shock. Mariah was a shock. But this one, we actually planned. And then actually, they were not saying that we ain't want none of our other kids, but I'm saying this one, we were stable, we've been married for a while, and we could see the direction our marriage going. Yeah. At that time, we didn't see that. We just were winging it when we had CJ. And when we had Mariah, we was on a path, but we didn't know where we were going to go. Because we didn't know what we wanted to do, because you still wanted to probably go to school, and you still trying to figure out what you wanted to do. And I was trying to figure out how I want to take care of two kids and a wife now. But that's a big responsibility, but it was a peace of mind when I had so, because I had a layout already on how things would be.
Okay. So I'm going to fast forward a little bit, then I'm going to go backwards. Okay. So we pregnant with Zoe, and now COVID hits. So I'm pregnant with Zoe. COVID hit, something, this pandemic, something we've never seen. It's hit all over the world. And we're pregnant with this child. I'm starting a new job. And how is this for you? What are you feeling as the father, the head of the home, the provider, the husband? Your wife is pregnant with this baby. We're in the middle of a pandemic. How are you feeling about this? And I've never asked you
this. Oh, I was scared because I didn't know. I mean, everything was shut down. People dying left and right. I didn't know how it was going to affect you and the baby if you were to get sick. I still work both jobs. I'm working, interacting with people and trying not to come home and give it to y'all. I mean, it was just a scary moment at the very beginning when the virus first came out.
Okay, so we are in the hospital getting ready to deliver the baby. Again, we're in the middle of a pandemic, so everything is completely different. You can't have any visitors. It's only you and I, and you can't leave because once you leave, they're not even allowing you back in. So this is a completely different experience for us. It's completely new. How was that birthing experience for you with you and I? With it just being us, we can't bring our other kids. It's just you and me.
And I just took it as a time just to reflect and time just to enjoy you and the new baby.
Yeah.
That's how I took it.
Yeah.
And taking everything in one by one, every step of the way. Because I wouldn't enjoy that like that if I had the kids with me or if other people was in the room. They trying to take pictures, they trying to do this, hold the baby. So that was just a time where I could just hold the baby myself, take care of you. And we just enjoy that moment right there. I mean, it turned into a good thing.
Yeah, I actually agree with that too. It was I didn't know how I felt about it at first because my mom had always been there when I always delivered with the other kids. So I didn't know how I felt about that. But it was actually a beautiful experience, like with it just being you and me. Like it was really a beautiful experience, that bonded time, like you said, just for you and me. And then once she got here, just to have that time to connect with just you, me and her. So I agree with you. Okay, so I want to rewind a little bit. We've talked about all the kids. We talked about buying our first home and our cars. And now we're going to get ready to close out. And I want to close out with something that I think is very important. And I kind of want to talk about therapy because therapy has kind of gotten us to the place where we are now, which is in a much better place than we've been in a long time, like in a much healthier place. And I say I'm rewinding because we first began couples therapy. Do you remember?
I remember talking about going to counseling. It was uncomfortable. That was something that I didn't want to do.
When did we first start talking about it? Do you remember?
We started having problems. And I guess, well, both of them want to give up on it. And I know I wanted to beat you, so I said, well, I tried. But that was it. You know, I did not want to go. I tried to avoid it the best way I could. Put it off for so long. Then you, we need to go counseling. We need to go counseling. So I set the appointment up. We went. And it wasn't how I thought it was
going
to be.
So we started going in 2019, before the pandemic. Okay, so we started with couples therapy. Yes, we started going to couples.
2019.
Yes, we started going to couples therapy in 2019.
But I remember just being uncomfortable until I really experienced it for myself. Once I got in there, they made you feel at home, and it just felt that it wasn't no judgment there, and that's what I was thinking. They probably gonna judge me. They probably gonna be on my wife's side, but she was really. Our therapist was really there for us to get on the same page with each other. So my experience with therapists is everybody should be able to. Everybody don't want to be scared to go because, you know, I mean, that ain't nothing that's brought up in a black community for a therapist that I knew about. But it was very uncomfortable for me. 2019 going to therapy, I didn't want to go. It was very uncomfortable because if I don't want to do something, I ain't going to do it. But it was a need that we needed to go. I set the appointment up in 2019.
He did.
And we went on our first appointment. And I remember that same day, I was like, oh, what I'm going to say? I'm scared. I don't know what I got myself into. I'm going to make up an excuse. I made up excuses all the way up until the last minute. I got a little tired for work. I'm still working two jobs. Tired already. You ain't got to go in here, put my feelings out there that I'm not used to doing. It was a very uncomfortable experience for me, but at the end, once I started getting comfortable, it was okay.
Well, how long it took you to get comfortable?
Maybe a couple weeks. Couple months. No, I'm about a couple months.
I'm about to say a couple weeks. Couple I know you lying.
But I still making excuses not to go the second time.
Y'all, every week we would go, this man, he would have an attitude. It's like every time it's time for the session, he be mad. He got to be late. It's like he got to do something right before the session.
Man, you really got to get out of
it. I'm like, okay. But what I told him, because we, don't get me wrong, we really needed therapy. And I knew it. Like, I wasn't excited about going either. Like, I was really not excited about going either, but I knew we needed it. Like, we had got stuck in this place where we just kept doing the same thing. And y'all already know, you cannot keep doing the same thing and expect different results. So I knew we needed it, but I told him.
It's a church night.
I told him, if he didn't make the appointment, because if he wasn't going to be all in, I was not going to do it. Because one thing about therapy, when it comes to couples therapy, if both partners not going to be all in, it's not going to work. One partner can't do it all by themselves. Both partners got to be all in. That's the only way it's going to work. So when he made the appointment and agreed to be all in.
Not just the only thing that work. You got to be all in. To hear the truth about yourself at the same time.
That's what you know what all in means?
But I want them to know you got to accept the truth.
That's real.
Because they gonna tell you the truth. And then it gonna be some stuff that you hear that might hurt you at the same time. But if you in it, like you say, all in, you won't take it personal.
Yeah.
You're taking it as a building block for y'all to continue your marriage and help build your marriage.
That's real.
A foundation.
Yeah. And I will say this, because every person, every couple, you guys may not be like us to find the perfect therapist for you guys the first try, because my husband fell in love with our therapist off the first rip. Like, he was like, oh yes, yeah, because both partners have to like the therapist. You can't go in and only the husband like the therapist or only the wife like the therapist. Both of you guys have to like the therapist for this to work. Because if both of you guys are not comfortable, it's not going to work. Because if the person, one of you guys don't like them, the person that don't like them, they're not going to open up. They're not going to feel comfortable. They're not going to share. They're not going to be real. So if you guys both don't like the therapist, it's okay to break up with that therapist and find somebody else. It's okay to shop around, to look around and find somebody you guys are both comfortable with. It just worked out well for us that we fell in love with our therapist the first try. But that's not the case for everybody. Some people have to look around and find out what works for them. So I do want to encourage you there. If you find somebody and they not the right fit, it don't mean that anything is wrong with you guys or that it's anything wrong with that therapist. They're just not the right fit for you. So continue to look around. Keep the door open. Keep being optimistic. I don't want you to think that something's wrong with therapy because that therapist didn't work out. Just continue to look and find somebody that works for the both of you guys. But Mr. Simmons, as we close out, what you think were the biggest things that helped our marriage from therapy?
Patience, communication, accepting my faults, accepting your fault, and just come together.
That's what helped you?
Go. Yeah, that will help.
You patient?
I'm more patient than I would be before I went there. I listen more. And I'm still working on my communication, but, you know. I mean, it's a work in progress.
Okay. All righty. And also, I do want to say this. That also helped us from therapy. We started couples therapy in 2019, but Corey and I both, as of last year, 2022, we started doing individual therapy. And that took us to a whole nother level because we started off working on our marriage. But a lot of stuff that we were doing in couples therapy, we found out we needed some individual work. There were things that we needed to work on within ourselves that came from our family background, how we grew up, our mindsets about things, some childhood trauma, some things we just personally needed to work on. And once we began to dive into those things and begin to work on those things, that really took our marriage to another level. And I'm not talking about just in good ways, y'all, because when you begin to start doing that hard parts work in yourself and you begin to find out some things about you that you didn't realize, man, that can be hard and it can be hard on your marriage, but it gets you beyond that surface stuff. And that's where Corey and I are in our marriage right now, just to be completely transparent. But I'm glad we are doing it work because it's taking us to a whole nother level in our relationship. So I hope you guys have enjoyed this. I really hope you guys have enjoyed this. Mr. Simmons, appreciate you for coming out. I really appreciate you. Anytime. You mean that?
On the best podcast in the nation.
What? Thank you, though. I really appreciate you. And thank you for 13 years of marriage and over 17 years of being together. I'm glad to share my life with you.
You're welcome. You're all paying me for that. All right. I love you. Bye. Peace out. Everybody have a good night. Peace.
All right, to my listeners, remember, I love you, but God loves you so much more. I'll see you next week. Bye. I hope you guys have enjoyed. Follow me on Facebook at Demo with Mo. If you have any questions you would like answered here live on my podcast, email them to me at demowithmo@gmail.com. That's demowithmo@gmail.com.